The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Morning.
Morning.
Good to see all of you. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34 today. We'll be looking at the last two parables of Jesus in chapter 4. All right, we got a lot to do, so let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for our study through these parables. And Jesus, we thank you for the words that you gave the crowds, that you gave your disciples. And Lord, you make clear how we are to respond. You tell us first that we're to listen carefully to your word. Will you help us do that today? You also tell us, God, that as we sit under your word, that we're to sit under it, Lord, with a receptive heart and humility. Will you do that in us today, Lord? We want this seed to fall on good soil. And Father, then you tell us that as we live it, as we apply it, as we obey it, that you'll give us opportunities, Lord, to plant seeds, to share truth in the life of others. We help us do that. Lord, remind us our purpose. Remind us to be kingdom-minded. We ask you to lead us. We pray your spirit fall upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our Old Testament passage, and I'm our reader today on that, is Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29. And listen to what the prophet writes. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? So I want to start out this morning going this route. And the route I want to go is I want to encourage all of us to examine our hearts as I ask you a question. And that question is, do I want to grow in Christ? And I think it's fair to say for most of us, the answer is absolutely. Yes, I want to grow in Christ. So our passage today, Mark chapter 4, 26 to 34, we'll touch on and we'll build on what we've gone through chapter 4 so far, what this looks like. Okay? So let's look at our passage. And we start out in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. And I will read it to you. And I'm reading from the ESV. I have thrown you a curveball. I have switched. It is not the NIV. Okay? But here we go. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Okay, so let's review quickly. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. What did we touch on? Jesus taught us about a farmer that went out to the field to plant a seed. And obviously, the goal for the farmer was that the seed would fall on good soil. So we gleaned from this parable that when we have the privilege to sit under the Word of God, and we do that many different ways throughout the week, we're doing that right now. The best approach is to humble ourselves and listen carefully with a receptive heart. We should also expect the Word of God to do what? Remember, it's called the sword of the Spirit. So the Word of God is meant to cut us. What did Jeremiah write? It's like a fire. It's like a hammer. So we should anticipate that it will cut us, and we should anticipate that we will be changed by it, because the Word is alive. So last week, we looked at verses 21 to 25. And we learned that God has revealed truth to us for one primary purpose: to share what He's given us. He calls us to share it, to give testimony to those around us. So key point for you and I to understand, key point: sharing the truth and giving testimony is a result of you and I surrendering and yielding to the truth first. If we want to share, we have to surrender and yield to the truth first ourselves. It's a natural progression. I apply the Word, I obey the Word, and then God says through us, here's what I've taught Craig. Here's what I've taught Phyllis about who I am. Here's the testimony that I've given to them. And now they're going to share that with you. But we have very little to share with others if we're not applying and living the Word ourselves. We have to understand that. So the question is, am I willing to surrender and yield to the Word that I sit under? Very important question. Okay? Only then can I be a light, the light that Jesus has called me to be. And this is also true, and what a wonderful truth this is, that the light Jesus lives in. Gotta understand that. So by God's grace, I pray that this verse that we've heard many times would fall into our hearts. And here it is. James 1:22. You could probably say it with me. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is vital if we desire to grow in the Lord. Okay? All right. So two points of emphasis if you're taking notes. Here they are. Okay? First one. After the Word falls in our hearts, we are called to plant the Word faithfully and diligently in others. After the Word falls in our hearts, we are called to plant the Word faithfully and diligently in others. That's number one. Does anybody need me to repeat that one more time? Okay. Number two. It's shorter, you'll be happy to know. Okay, here it is. God always has a remnant, and He uses that remnant to grow His kingdom. God always has a remnant, and He uses that remnant to grow His kingdom. One more time, are we good? Okay. All right. So two more parables to look at this morning. The parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. All right, so let's look at verse 26 through 29 one more time here and see what it says. And He said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." So similar to verse 3, if we go all the way up back up to verse 3 in chapter 4, Jesus again gives us the illustration of a farmer sowing the seed. But notice this time we're focusing on the fact that the seed has fallen on good soil. So for fun, and no reason, but for fun, let's call our farmer Steve. Let's just do that, okay? Let's call our farmer Steve, but no particular reason, all right? So we call our farmer Steve, all right? And here's what Steve does. He prepares the field. He does everything possible to prepare the field, right? Does the farmer not remove the weeds? Does the farmer not plow? And I learned this week. Does the farmer not disc? I learned that. Okay? Talk to a farmer. And does the farmer not till until he's ready to plant? Does the farmer not fertilize? All right? I'm sure I got some of that backwards, but I did the best I could. All right. So, verse 27 reveals that after he plants, the seed, his work is done. He sleeps every night, but the growing of the seed is out of his hands. We see that in the text, right? Many days pass, and it looks like nothing's happening. Nothing at all. And then one day, a little green sprouts. And up, day after day, it grows a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. But the growing process, it's a mystery to the farmer. It is not understand it. The text tells us he does not know how. However, slowly and surely, the plant grows and grows and grows. So we see the picture. All right. And then look at verse 28 and 29. In due time, the farmer who worked diligently to prepare that field, Steve sees the fruit of his labor. And his seed produces a crop that is ready for harvest. And let me bring your attention to the first part of verse 28. Look what it says. The earth produces by itself. Here's what we have to understand. If the seed falls on good soil, there will be a harvest. That's what this text is saying. It's organic. It will naturally happen. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. It's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share in the crops. Okay? So we learned 2 weeks ago, what is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. Right? So the Word is planted in the receptive heart we've talked about. But the majority of the time, it's a slow process. Now, there have been times where the seed has been planted and somebody takes off on fire for the Lord. Okay? It's rare, but it happens. Okay? That's why many times we see someone make a confession, but it seems there's no change. Where's the change? Where's the fruit? Right? And we have to understand, this is a slow and steady process. It takes time for the Word to take root in people. Takes time for the root to grow in God's people. This is why we have to be patient with one another. Encourage one another. And spur one another on in the faith. And understand one very important truth. And that truth is this. There's no formula. There's no program. Because it's God who initiates the growth. Not man. As much as we want to sometimes, we cannot play the role of the Holy Spirit in another person's life. We cannot. We cannot. Okay? So back to our question. Do I want to grow in Christ? If you trusted the Lord as your Savior, then the answer is yes. Yes, I do. There could be some that are indifferent to that. And if that's you, can I just encourage you? God loves to answer this prayer. Reveal yourself to me. Show me my heart. I want to come honestly before you. I want to know who you are. God loves to answer that prayer. He's faithful to answer that prayer. He's answered that prayer in many people's lives in here. But one of the main themes of this gospel, if you go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, remember what Jesus preached, right? He reminded us that he, the King, has come. Jesus has come. And why has he come? He's come to reign in the hearts of his people, right? He's come to reign in us. We're reminded we do not have a kingdom. And how does the Lord make his home in us? It's when we receive the truth in humility, when we surrender, when we lay down our desires to follow and obey him. Then we take the next step laid out. And here's blue letter. And for those of you that haven't been here before, what blue letter means is, how do I apply this scripture? How is God calling me to respond? Well, here's what that looks like. Okay, back to our first point of emphasis. After the word falls in our hearts, we are called to plant the word faithfully and diligently in others. And there's no better place to start than in our families. We need to be speaking Jesus, filling the hearts of our children, of those around us, with who the Lord is and his word regularly. And listen carefully, because I think sometimes we fall into this trap when we take our kids to church. You can't just count on your Sunday school teacher to get that job done, because it won't work. There's testimony after testimony of parents out there that their kids have been raised. They counted on Sunday school alone. It didn't go well. Can't do that. Just like we can't expect to open our Bibles simply on Sunday and grow like God wants us to grow. Can't work like that. Okay? So I encourage you, the seeds that you plant in your family, cover them in prayer. Every time you plant that seed, you get to speak about who your God is. Cover it in prayer. You give testimony of what God is doing in your life. Cover it in prayer. It's key. It's key. When you read the word with your kids, cover it in prayer. My attitude, as with this farmer, is I am planting the seed, Lord, just as you called me to do. I'm obeying you. But it's you, God, that must bring the growth. It's you, God, that must bring the growth. Listen to Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So family is a good starting point. It's where we should start, okay? But also those around us, who we work with, our neighbors, the people we are acquaintance with, they're also part of our mission. So as we build those relationships, we must ask God to open our eyes to see what he is doing. What are you doing, God, here in Starbucks today? What are you doing, God, here at my work, even though these people are driving me nuts? What are you doing, right? Where are there opportunities to plant seeds? Where can I encourage? Where can I build up? Where is someone hurting today that I can pray with? Where is it? And we don't want to be overpowering, because there's nothing that turns people off faster than I come at them like a jackhammer. Doesn't work. Okay, we got to let the Spirit work. But we're saying, Lord, I'm in tune with you. So if there's a place you want to use me today, if there's a person you want me to talk to today, if there's something you're already doing, I'm walking by faith in that, and show me where I can be a part of what you're doing here at Starbucks. Show me where I can be part of what you're doing here out on the job. Show me how I can be a part of what you're doing in my kids today. How can I be a part of what you're doing with my neighbor that's mowing their grass right now? What can I do? So I'm in tune with the Lord. And most of the time, we are only one of many people that plant seeds, one of many. Okay? And remember, the text points out that when the seed is planted, the process is a slow one. We have some type A personalities in this room. We do, right? We've talked about that. That's okay. But we have to understand. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. And we have to be confident that the seed has fallen on good soil. Don't dodge one another, right? Okay, just kidding. Sorry. All right. But anyway. Okay. So the seed will fall on good soil, and God is working in ways that we cannot see. Just like our farmer Steve can't see what's going on under the ground. But there's things going on, aren't there? Just can't see them. God's doing it. Okay? So the gospel message cannot be forced on someone by man. One cannot be coerced or tricked or sold on believing in the gospel. That's not how it works. Not one of us are a substitute for the Holy Spirit, but we want to be a part of what he's doing. James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. When we plant the seed knowing the character of God, that he's faithful, and that just as he's done in us, just as he's doing in us, that he'll finish what he started. And by God's grace, we're able to plant those seeds. So you see, it's the Spirit of God who does the work of making Jesus known. But notice, it's a mystery to us. But we trust that God will do the same in the circles we run in. John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And here's an indicator. The scripture clearly brings out of someone who is saved. The growth may be slow and sure. But hear this. Once the growth starts, it's continual. Once the growth starts, it's continual. If we are not growing, as we've hammered on for weeks, that's a red flag. If we are not seeing in our life that we are being saved, that we are being sanctified, that's a red flag. The Word is alive, and it should be ever changing us as it abides in us. Not that there won't be struggles with sin, because there will be. I have to confess that. But there will be fruit. There will be fruit. And can I say this to you as you're part of this church family? Even if you're visiting and you have brothers and sisters around you, can I ask you to do this? When you see fruit in your brother or sister, will you encourage them in that? Amen. Will you tell them that? Will you affirm that? Will you say, here's what I'm seeing the Lord doing you. Here's how you're growing. I see God's grace in your life. I had a brother and sister do that this week. And as I told one, it spurs me on in my faith. Because the Lord is doing it. And he's growing me. And we got to do that for one another. Alright. So here's what it says. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed, through the loving and abiding Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. All right, let's look at our last part here. Verse 30 to 34, I'll read it one more time. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples. He explained everything. So look at 33 and 34, because I want to camp there first, okay? Let's quickly touch on that. All right. So as we mentioned in the first two parables, in the first two sections of chapter 4, Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables. That's how he spoke to the masses. This was his decision going forward. Our scripture goes on to teach us that when he was alone with his disciples, later in the evening or whenever that was, he would explain the meaning of the parables to them. But for the rest of the masses, for most of the people, for the crowd that he drew, Jesus said whether they understood depended on two things. First, it depended on the sovereignty and the will of God. There's a tension here. And second, it depended on the heart of the individual. So the will of God, the sovereignty of God, and the heart of the individual. And as we gleaned from chapter 4, parables were used and meant to reveal an individual's heart. It would be evident by how they responded to the parable whether someone was open to who Jesus was and the message he preached. Okay, this brings us to our second point of emphasis. God always has a remnant. And he uses that remnant to grow his kingdom. He always has a remnant, and he uses that remnant to grow his kingdom. That means in every church, he has a group of people that are faithfully following him. Right? That's the remnant. The church is full of people. But like a man once said, you're not a Christian anymore sitting in a church than you're a chicken sitting in a hen house. Then you're a chicken if you sit in a hen house. Meaning if we're in a hen house, we're not a chicken. We have to understand that. Okay? So, we read that the Lord compares his kingdom to one of the smallest seeds. You should have this in front of you right now. Right? See that? He compares his kingdom to one of the smallest seeds. Okay? It looks to be small and insignificant, doesn't it? But gradually, it grows and it grows and it grows until it sprouts a large tree where the birds find shelter. Listen to chapter 17, verse 22 and 23 of Ezekiel. The prophet writes about this. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And watch this part. And under it will dwell every kind of bird, and the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. This is what happens when the Word of God is planted by His church. God calls people to faithfully share the Word that He has taught them. Those who have a receptive heart and receive the Word of God in humility, they grow in the Lord. And what is the result? The church of God steadily grows. As we study the Gospels, detailing Jesus' life, let's look at how this plays out. All right, let's look at the examples so far we've seen in Mark, because this is beautiful. Because Jesus gave us example after example of what this looks like, and we'll continue in this Gospel. So let's look. One example. We learn at the end of chapter 3 that Jesus' mother, that's Mary, his brothers and his sisters, they thought he was crazy. Remember that? They said he was crazy, right? But what are we on safe ground to assume? The Lord kept planting seeds, didn't he? He planted seeds in him. He planted seeds in his mom. He planted seeds in his brother. He planted seeds in his sisters, right? And what happens? Here's what the scripture teaches us. That eventually, James and Jude, Jesus' half-brothers, became such devout followers of Christ that they were martyred for their faith. That's planting seeds, right? Yes, that's planting seeds, okay? Now look, and of course, what about his disciples? These guys were just ordinary Joes, right? And they said the wrong thing all the time, right? They never got what Jesus was saying. They hid when he was arrested. John Mark ran away naked when Jesus was arrested. Do you remember that? Okay, but what happened? What happened? Even though these men were looking for a political Messiah, and even though they were looking to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, what did Jesus do? He planted seeds. He planted seeds. He planted seeds. And what happened? To the glory of God, they were instruments to spread the word of God to this world. And you and I are a testimony of that today in the church. We got to understand that. Because of what Jesus did, he planted seeds. All right? So what about you and I? Right? We rebelled against God for years, didn't you? I did. Rejected the truth again and again. Mocked him. Chased my sin. Proud heart, stealing his glory over and over and over again. Yet by God's grace, I guarantee you, someone in your circle was praying for you. Someone in your circle was planting seeds. They were planting seeds. Were you receiving those seeds? Probably not every time. But they were praying, Lord, I pray that this word, this Bible story, whatever we're doing, I pray that it fall on good soil. Right? And what happened? We're a testimony that God softened our hearts. He brought us to a place of repentance and trusting him. And by God's sovereign hand, these people continue to make small touches. Planting, planting, planting. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. Okay? Christ is a testimony. We are a testimony that the kingdom of God is growing. And we have to understand this. God's kingdom is growing right now all over Greenwood. It's growing. Okay? God's kingdom is growing all over Indiana. It's growing. God's kingdom is growing all over the United States. God's kingdom is growing all over the world. Okay? Here's what I have to understand. Iran, China, Liberia, Yalla who we support, right? Brazil, Guatemala, the entire globe, anywhere and everywhere. God always has a remnant of men and women who by his grace faithfully follow him. And what are they doing? They're planting seeds. They're saying, let me tell you about the Jesus I know and love. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life, how he's rescued me, what his truth has done to me, how I've been able to overcome sin. Let me tell you that I treasure this word. This word is precious to me. It's like honey. It's like pearls. It's a treasure that I've found, and they're planting seeds. And we can be sure the kingdom of God is growing. It's growing slowly, and it's growing steadily, but it's growing. In the face of opposition and persecution all over the world, it's growing. In the face of Jesus being mocked on a regular basis, Jesus being denied everywhere, his kingdom is growing, and it will until all God's people will be saved fully. Remember, you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. So when we read that people are being saved fully, when we're made just like Jesus, we'll see the culmination of this. And I love this passage. Let me share it with you. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise God for that. praise God for that. So let's go back to our question we started with. Do you and I want to grow in Christ? Let's get very practical of what chapter 4 has laid out for us. And understand what part do we play in continuing to grow in Christ. What have we gleaned from chapter 4? What's it say? First, when I sit under the Word, I'm called to prepare my heart. I'm called to listen carefully with a receptive heart in humility, humbling myself before the God that made me. That's first. Number two, when I receive the Word in my heart, when it falls on good soil, very practically speaking, I'm called to apply it. I'm called to obey it. I'm called to respond to what God has commanded. So let me just say this, because I bet this is true in your life, because it's certainly true in mine. You know how when you sit under the Word of God and you're being cut, it's that hammer, or it's that fire, or it's that double-edged sword? See, here's the truth. The Lord's normally asking us to do something in our lives. He's normally asking us to take a step of faith. And when we read the Word of God, no matter what we word, He comes back to that point. Are you going to obey me? Are you going to do what I called you to do? Because if we want to grow by faith, we say, yes, Lord, I'll take that step. I'll do what you called me to do. And then when we do that, He takes us to something else. Right? So I apply to my life and obey the Word that God commanded me. And three, when the truth that God has revealed to me falls in my heart, I'm called to make small touches with that truth. I'm called to plant small seeds with that truth. I'm called to give testimony. I'm called to share. This is why I gave you a mustard seed this morning. This is weird, but I'd like to wear this around my neck. I know it's strange, right? But I just thought about that. But I gave you a mustard seed this morning to remind you that you and I, by God's great grace, with the truth that He's given us, with the truth that He's revealed to us, have the most incredible opportunity to make touches, to plant seeds in the lives of others, to grow the only kingdom that is eternal. The only kingdom that lasts forever. And let me remind you this before I pray, that when you become a part of that, it not only glorifies your King, but it leads to unspeakable joy in your life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we're going to be honest. This is a lot. It's a lot, Lord. But Father, we thank You that because the gospel's true, Lord, that Your Spirit will do this in and through us. So, Lord, first, let me pray this. I pray for each here that Your Word has fallen on good soil. That's what I ask You, Lord. It's fallen on hearts that are soft. And God, I pray that as it's fell on good soil, Lord, that we hide it in our heart. And whatever that thing is, whatever Your Spirit is saying right in our heart, here's what I want You to do. Here's what that looks like. Here's the person I'm calling You to go to. Whatever that is, God. I pray, Lord, that for Your glory and for our unspeakable joy, God, that we would take that step. That we would take that step. That we would obey You. That we would apply Your Word to our life, God. And then in turn, that we would give testimony about what You're doing. We have your testimony about how your truth is changing us and transforming us, God. God, I pray that for each here. But we need your help because we come in here with flesh, God. We come in here thinking about our own stuff. We come in here with all kinds of different things on our minds, God. But I pray that you help us to take those steps. And we pray that you help us to take all these steps. And the power of the beautiful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.